Blog Talk Radio.
Keep doing your thing because you never know. I might be sitting at home with a chicken bone, see on TV. Now, wait a minute. I know them, you know.
Double O-W, double E, ooh-wee. Looking for the sweetest hit. Well, we got the recipe. Been patient waiting for someone to show you. So we gonna show you how. We gonna break it down. We gonna break it down.
Oh, man. Hey, Al, they should have been singing the whole time live.
I got 10 engagements. If I go to one event, I got like 5-6 people, you know, booking me. Blam, blam, blam. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I'm independent. And I am doing, I'm independent. And I'm like, wow, I'm doing it like on a big scale. Like, I'm a real artist. I'm like, what? But, hey. I spoke.
You are a real artist.
I am a real artist.
Was written, and you know what? You know what, cuz? I'm so appreciative. You zeroed in right where I really want the reader to get. That's really the reason why I wrote the book.
I'm blown away.
I told God I would be faithful about the spirit that he gave me, and he wouldn't let me release it for some time, but if no one else gets anything out of that book, get chapter 9.
That's very, very simple. That's very, very simple. You know,
oh.
I talk nice to them. They call me Daddy, AJ Dicko.
Hey.
AJ Dicko. 3 times. Hey. And I'm saying, sure, I don't do no physical harm to them.
Mm-hmm.
I just threaten to take the food, the clothes, and the home from them. And they act nice.
Oh, okay. I was just thinking maybe you might have to clean house or something like that, but that's great.
Well, back in the old days when I first started, I used to use the duct tape and the clothes hangers and all
that. Yeah. See, I thought that, yeah, because that's an old tried and proven practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard.
It's a national anthem. I make them all say before I put them on the street. They say, "We are K-Tickle Girl, the one you heard about. You fight with knives and 45s and broken bottles, too. We are K-Tickle Girl, so who the hell are you?"
Oh, mercy.
Who the hell are you?
Okay, I was just about to ask you that. Like, what genre would you say most of your music, I guess, is in? I don't want to put you in a box or anything, but what do you feel it most represents, your style of music?
Well, Ron Hill, who's one of my partners, and we formulate the Love Brothers. We've just finished our 4th CD as well. He lives in Virginia. He said it's a combination of jazz and hip-hop, which he calls jip-jop, which I registered and copyrighted right away.
No, other than the fact that, you know, like you said, I was sitting there. There was times when I was sitting beside him while he was doing his beats and everything, and, he's, you know, I don't want to call him his real name. Taz has come a long way, and his music is...
Thank you, Jesus.
This is the voice, and as I said before, T-A-Z, host the show, man.
Good evening. Welcome to AZ Productions on Blog Talk Radio, and this is your host, T-A-Z. I got in the house, Tommy Jenkins. Member of the funk band Cameo. He's written a book called Crime, Love, and Honor, and it's an honor to have you in here, sir.
What's happening, T-A-Z?
What's up, Tommy?
What's up? I'm good.
And
I'm
also,
good.
co-host, Blonde Ambition, Miss Blonde Ambition. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing wonderful.
Hello, lady.
Couldn't
how
be
are
better
you?
Right now. I'm fine, and you?
I'm fine, fine, fine. Thank you. Thanks for having me, y'all. Appreciate
hey, Tommy, I'm going to tell you right now, I was blown away when you first said you wrote a book, and I was like, wait a minute. He wrote a book? Wait a minute, Kat. And then you put the link out so people can get it. I got it. And I was pleasantly surprised because, like, I'm telling you, I write too. And I wrote soap operas. I write comic books and whatnot. But I'm like, man, you grabbed me the first two pages. Pulled me in. I was through. And I was like,
well,
I was blown away while I was reading. It's a good read. It's very exciting. And it's something that my wife would love because she loves death and mystery and stuff like that. And she would love it. I told her about it. She's like, man, I might have to get that book after you get through. So
pass it on, pass it on, pass it on, man. You know, I appreciate that. So I guess I had the desired effect. You know, that's
I just want to know, how did you come up with the passion just to write a book? You always been into writing?
Of course, you know. Well, you know, I've written a lot of the cameo hits over the years, you know. So it was just a natural transition for me. And I've always loved reading, and I love fiction and crime, urban crime fiction in particular.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite writer is one of my favorite writers is Elmore Leonard, and also Walter Mosley.
Mm-hmm.
I go back to Man Child in the Promised Land. Claude Brown was one of the books that really influenced me into reading about real life, what was going on in the hoods, man. You know what I mean? What was happening to black folks in the urban experience. So I've been a reader, and I've always written songs, and I've written back in school. I've always written plays and written things like that. Nothing published, but this book in particular took me a little while to read. First of all, because I was always, you know, I was either on tour or, you know, I didn't
mm-hmm.
have the right environment in which to really sit down and formulate what I wanted to do. So over the last 5 years, I was able to complete it with some fits and starts. But that's basically what it was. I've always, you know, my mom's put the love of reading into me, man, and you know, I've always mm-hmm. loved reading and writing a book. Just, you know, it's just something that I wanted to do, you know, and it, whether it's sold or not, it'd be an accomplishment for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to write it, you know, just to say, you know, hey, I completed it. And to have people respond so positively to it is just a blessing. You know what I mean? It's just, you know. It's
well, I'm
going to
tell you right now, I was tripping. I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling this. And my wife knows me. She knows that I'm not, you know, I really don't read a lot because I write too much. And I don't want to consciously take an idea from another author and put it in mine. You know what I mean? So
mm-hmm,
that's why
mm-hmm,
I kind of I would love to read, and I've done it before when I wasn't writing as much as I am. I'm writing four different things now, so therefore I didn't want to read anything to take away from another author. But when I started reading yours, Brian, this is honest for real. I kept on reading. I was like, well, I ain't going to take nothing from this. I'm good. You know what I mean? I'm grown now. I can read this, you know, with clear head.
Excellent.
So what is, out of all the characters, because you got a lot of different characters, and I'm not trying to give the story away at all.
Right.
I'm not even going to dabble on that. But what is your favorite character out of the whole book that you wrote about?
I have a couple, you know what I mean? I think the main character, Dexter, he's one of the Derek, I'm sorry, I don't even know my own character, but Derek, I'm thinking of that movie. Derek Kingston is one of my favorites because of the changes that he goes through within the book. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's and it's so funny because and I hope not to give, because when I'm talking to different people about the book, trying to get, you know, them excited or interested in reading it, I tend to reveal too much of the book.
Yeah.
So they got to say, yo, hold up. Let me get it. You took my mind. I didn't get the book. You tell me the whole story, dude. So I'm trying not to go that way. But Derek wasn't initially one of the main characters. But, you know, Philip was. And Philip also, you know, Philip Hardaway is going to be, he's definitely one of the main characters. And I think those two in varying ways. Philip, because of his relationship with his wife and his family thing and
right.
the thing that he goes through with that situation is one, you know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
and Derek, as far as his epiphany and his moral challenges that he goes through, you know, throughout his career, so to speak, you know what I mean? That's the other one. You know, those two. And I think Kayla, you know.
I'll get ready to name her.
She's definitely one of the stronger, you know. And I wanted to have strong female presence in the book as well, because you can't write a book and not have women involved and want to, you know, find something interesting as well that they could relate to. So,
that's not right.
You know, so even though it's a book with, you know, a fair amount of violence in it, it also has it's got love in it, you know, and it's got different love relationships, even amongst those who you wouldn't think would have love relationships. But, you know, in the book, as those who I hope who are listening will pick it up, you can see that you never know who you're gonna fall in love with. You know, so it explores that aspect of it too. So I think it touches on a lot of different themes, and there's definitely going to be a sequel. You know, and I think a lot of people are kind of, you know, at the end of the book they're like, what?
Yeah, I wanted some more. That was going to be my next question. Don't have a part two to this.
No. You know it's a part two. Yeah, it's definitely part two, and I haven't started writing it yet, but I'm just getting the ideas together about how I want to do it. I know that, you know, of course, you know, Derek is definitely going to be figuring prominently in it because of his situation at the end of the book, and Philip for sure because of his various adventures. You know what I mean? That I'm gonna, you know, it's gonna get a little stickier for him, you know, as in the sequel. And Kayla, you know, and William Shorter, you know, all those main characters are going to figure prominently into the sequel as well. So
that's a good deal, because most people leave you hanging and go on to the next subject, and you're like, wait a minute now.
Right. No,
don't do me like that. Glad you're doing another one. That's all right there, my brother, because I'm going to be one of the first to get it. That's for real.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, and it could be a franchise, you know what I'm saying? It could be a kind of situation
it
where it's
just be
like
a movie.
Right, I'm well, you know, from your lips to God's ears, my brother.
I'm just letting you know.
This is what I'm hoping. I'm thinking that it does have that cinematic tone, you know what I mean? It definitely has that kind of tone where it's a series, or, you know what I mean, you can get invested into the characters, and which is what I wanted to do. So funny, when I was writing it, this is my first novel, okay, my very first novel, and as I was having it edited by an outside editor, he did comment, and he gave me some great tips on how to bring out and flesh out the characters more, you know what I mean, make them more like people can relate to them, you know what I mean?
Right.
And be invested in the characters. That's very important. So he helped me a lot in that, and I'm sure I'll take those lessons when I do the next installment, because I want those characters to live on, and people will be familiar with them already. You know what I mean?
Right.
I want that, you know, they'll say, oh, I know how he is, or I know how she is, and, you know, I can dig her, and, well, I don't like her too much. You know what I mean? And some of them won't be there because they, you know, they're untimely demise. But, you know what I mean? That's
of course.
You know what I'm saying?
just can't be bringing them back like lost. You can't do that.
I have a question.
Certainly, Blonde Ambition. Sure.
What is your methods to basically build a character? Do you take pieces of character, personality traits from people you know? Because I also write too, and I'm not professional or anything. I just do it for fun, and I've always been a big reader, read thousands of books in my life. But where do you get your inspiration for your characters? Do you take it from experiences, people you've come across in your life, or do you just kind of like make a character up in your mind? And
it's totally made up in my mind. Totally. But what I do is the overall, just to give you you and your listeners an overall view of the concept of the book. When I was growing, when I came to California, you know, there was a lot of gang activity. You know what I mean?
I've lived there.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
So
stay away from that part.
it would just devastate me when innocent people would be getting caught in the crossfire. You know what I mean? We'd get hurt because of all of that. That would kill me. So I've always had the idea, and which is probably what prompted me to write the book in the first place. I've always wondered, why couldn't there be an organization, a covert organization, that could go into the hood and or these various neighborhoods and just do what the cops couldn't do, what anybody couldn't do, and just, what you know, unrestrained. And they would be gangsters themselves, you know, of
right.
the highest order. You know what I mean? They would be gangsters. They would know the whole...
Kind of like vigilantes, maybe?
Yeah,
or
like exactly. Vigilantes, you know
yeah.
what I mean? But doing it for a good cause. So
right.
why couldn't they do that? The government does it all over the world. You know what I mean? They got covert things where they just can't go in to certain situations. They have to go in undercover, you know, to take care of things without anybody else knowing about it. And next thing you know, the situation is handled. So that's how I wanted to. That's basically what my impetus for writing the book, because I was so frustrated at the lack of. You know, why, you know, I just didn't know. So I'm saying, man, what if there was a group of cats who was street, but was the highest level street tactics to go in, know where the guns were, know where the drugs were, and just, you know, anytime there was a drive-by shooting and somebody innocently got killed, they would go in and handle that in no time flat, and that would be it. So basically, that's where it came from, but at the same time, giving the leader of the group, you know, conscious, you know what I mean? And it was basically,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody who's just, he's a high-level master criminal, but at the same time, he's doing everything for a purpose, you know what I mean, for a reason. So he wanted to have that conflict in there, the moral conflict of someone doing something that may be on the wrong side, but for a good reason. In the end, it all worked out in the end. So that's where I came from with that. So that's how I came up with the book. And then as it developed, you know, I wanted to have some love in there. I wanted to have some softness. I wanted to have that interplay of just normal relationships with people. You know what I mean? In the book, it wasn't just bang, bang, bang. You know what I mean? It had to be something that was soft in there that people could say, yeah, this could happen. This could happen.
Right.
So, you know.
Make your characters more human.
It worked out. Yeah,
yeah,
make the characters human. Like, it's just not, you know, total fiction. You know what I mean? It is a fictional story, but, you know, you got to say, well, you know, dang, I wish, you know, that could happen. You know what I mean? It could happen. And that's where I wanted to take it. You know what I mean? It was one, that kind of thing.
What's harder, writing a hit lyric or a hit fiction novel? I mean, I know it's longer. But what would you say is easier of the two, or I guess, the most gratifying out of the two. I mean, it could go different ways, I guess.
Yeah,
because I do
that's
the same thing, so I'm thinking
yeah,
of that answer.
Interesting. Well, that's an interesting question, really, because I sometimes a hit song comes just like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You write, you can sit, and it writes, it basically writes itself.
Right.
And you don't know if it's going to be a hit. Just like you don't know if, you know, writing a book or a poem or writing a play or a movie, a screenplay or anything is going to be a hit. You just
right.
write it. You write it and you do the best you can. If you enjoy it, you hope other people enjoy it and will get the vibe that you got when you finished it. So writing a song and hearing it and played back with the music, you know yourself. Sitting down writing lyrics, and then putting those lyrics to music, and then going into the studio to record it.
Right.
And then it comes out, and you hear your lyrics on music, and you hear the finished
yeah.
product.
Man, it's almost...
there's no greater feeling, man. You know what I mean? It's just, it's
mm-hmm.
blissful.
Yeah.
It actually takes you to another place.
And yes,
then
it does.
You, and in my case, you know, thankfully, songs that I wrote, you know, 20 years ago or more still have that effect on individuals, which is mind-blowing to me. So one would hope that what they write or what they produce or what they give to the world would still be fruitful years and years and years later. It still, you know, it still causes that good feeling when people hear them. You know, when you hear it, it still causes that good feeling, and that's what it is. I mean, it's not necessarily, it's not anything else, you know, other than just doing something that makes others happy, that makes others smile, or makes others have joy or enjoyment out of what you do. It's not the money, it's not this, it's not that, you know, because we don't get into the business world, you know, in the beginning. I didn't get into it for money. I didn't make any money doing this. I got into it because I loved it. So
right.
that's, and then writing a book or, you know, sitting down writing a novel, of course, as you know, takes longer. And,
yeah.
you know, you have more interruptions, you know, you have more, you can write a song, sit down, okay, yeah, I got this. And it can, you know, in a couple of days, you know, you got it. Or you can write it, and they say, oh, that sucks. You know what I mean? And then you go back
mm-hmm.
and rewrite the whole thing.
Yeah,
so
don't you know?
Your question is very interesting because it's almost like it's almost the same in varying degrees, you know, in different ways. It's almost like the same. One takes longer than the other. But now, if I was a novelist and that's all I did, it probably wouldn't take me 3 or 4 years to write a daggone book, you know what
right.
I mean? But you know, that's not all I do. So hopefully if you know, the stars align and the gods are smile upon me, you know what I mean, I could make a career out of this situation. You never know.
You never do. You don't.
You know, you never know. You never know.
The song Best of Me, that's
yeah.
a remix. You put on it. I'm going to tell you right now, dude, I got all y'all stuff set up. We all know who we are. I was
yeah.
in the Army in 1988 and wrote the record company so I could get a copy of We All Know Who We Are. And they told me I have to wait till it come out on CD because, like, in 86, 88, CDs wasn't as popular. It was just crossing over right about that time. And they told me
right.
when it come out on CD, then probably they'll release it. I was, dude, I was down in Texas. I wrote the company. I'm like, I got to have this album because I had everything else. I just didn't have that. I was mad
right.
all day. So I'm a Cameo fanatic, and anybody would tell you that's my favorite group.
Me too. I grew up on that.
Thank y'all.
I definitely grew up on it. Love, love, love Cameo. Always have had it somewhere to listen to through all the years, through all the different technology changes. You know what I'm saying? It was
right.
It's still I got Cameo and it's in my iTunes somewhere right now, trust me. So
well, that's beautiful.
And I got your first album called Tommy, so yeah. So they're gonna show that I know.
Oh man, well shoot.
I got that one too. But the song Best of Me, explain that before I play it.
Well, it's a remix of a song that a demo, and what you have is not really, I mean, it's mixed, but it's not, you know, master or anything. This is the first time it's going to be played on any kind of radio station, so, but it's, the song was done, music by my friend Lee Hurst in Atlanta, great producer, and we've collaborated on about four or five songs that are going to be on my record. Best of Me, the remix is totally different than what the original song sounded like. It was more like a ballad, mid-tempo kind of thing. So I wasn't even really going to put it on the record, or I needed to do a lot more work to it. And then Lee one day said, I sent you something in the mail. I was working on it. This is like months later. And he said, this is something, why don't you check this out? So I listened and I said, that's it. That's it to me. And it seems to have gotten a really good response from other various places that I've sent it to. But the lyrics, I wrote the lyrics, and I'm a positive kind of person. You know what I mean? I like to believe or hope that I look at a positive situation. So in light of in that relationship kind of thing.
Right.
So this is why, you know, this is as you probably ascertained from the lyrics. You know, it's a situation where the guy's like, hey, why are you staying around this dude if he's not treating you right? You know, what's the problem? You know, and we've all known people like that. Just can't see the way, you know, we want to stick around even though we know it's bad medicine. You know what I mean?
Somehow we think we're going to make it right.
You preaching the Blonde Ambition, she about ready to raise her hand up. I don't see her in Florida, but I see her hand going up like she in church. You preaching, dog.
I might get some buttons. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Oh, well, who hasn't had that type of situation?
Who hasn't? Exactly.
Right.
So it's a universal theme. You know, we've all been there. You know, male and female. It's not a female. You know, specific.
And here it is, Best of Me by Tommy Jenkins. I see you, area code 276. Hold on, we'll be back to you when we come back. Here's the song.
Sweet. again, the best of friends. That's not how it's gonna end. You should know by now, you got the best of me. Sometimes you ask yourself how you got so caught up. Maybe sometimes in our loneliness, we find comfort in the darkness.
I'm not afraid
You know what I mean? I've been doing it too long. You know what I mean? To be,
right.
You know
right.
what I mean? I put it on out there. So it's all as long as it's not booty. You know what I mean? I put it out
right.
there. It's not crazy.
Right.
So there you go.
Well, Tommy, give your information to the people so they
okay.
can get the book and look you up and stay in contact and know what's coming out next.
Well, I have a website, www.thomasmjenkins.com. Thomasmjenkins.com is dedicated to the book. It also has tour information of where Cameo is going to be performing and where I'll be doing. At every opportunity, I try to do book signings after shows and sell books, you know. But if you order, you can order the book from my website, and I will autograph a copy and send it out to you personally. and or you can go to Amazon.com and
yeah.
if you have a Kindle, you know, if you got a Kindle, you can get
a Kindle. I got
Kindle
a Kindle.
Version.
That's
okay,
where I get my book.
You can get it from Kindle. Yeah, go ahead and get your Kindle, and or you can order the paperback from Amazon as well. But I'm trying to divert people away from getting the paperback on Amazon and buying it from me, you know what I mean, get the autograph. And it's a little less, too, you know.
Right. Well, Tommy, it's been nice having you on the show. Hey, I got to get you back in here, man, so we can talk Cameo. I could talk that for about an hour for real. By
mm-hmm.
my phone.
Oh, I'm ready. Anytime.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna hit you up again. And,
that's
kind
of one of my other favorite subjects.
Real. Thank you again,
man.
Tommy, for coming through.
Thanks for having me, Taz. I appreciate it. Thank you, Blonde Ambition.
You're welcome.
All right. Talk to y'all
soon.
All
right. Take
care. Bye-bye.
Peace out.
Peace.
My boy Smitty Beats. Homeboy from Ohio.
Yes,
met him online.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes, I met him online.
You're from my home state. That's right.
Is that where you're from, too?
And Smitty is a blonde ambition that's on the line with us.
Okay, right on. So are you up from that? Did I hear another OHN? Are we all OHN people?
Yeah, I'm from
Dayton, Ohio. So, yeah.
Oh, wow, you're from Cincinnati. I was actually born in Covington, but.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you know, we'd be all over that. I mean, that's you know, that's where I'm from. That's where I was born and raised at. So.
Yeah,
I'm from Steubenville, and I used to go up to Dayton, go to Spunky's, and I used to stay
at. Oh yeah,
Spunky's.
Oh yeah.
CSU.
Spunky's.
CSU on campus. And had a good time with
them.
So that's just crazy that we all from Ohio, but we all in different spots.
Right.
I met Smitty years ago. We talked years ago on SoundClick, and he was living in Las Vegas at the time. And me and my wife came out there and visited him a couple of times while we was out in Vegas. Had to go see Smitty. But yeah, he's
okay.
Like family, really. So how you been, y'all?
Been doing okay, man. And tell the wife, I said, hello, tell darling, I said, hey.
I will,
well,
definitely.
All day today.
The music, you're still doing music, Brian, and I want you to tell the people exactly some of the stuff that you've been doing over the years.
Wow, okay. Should I start from most recent? Let me start from the most recent thing. I'm kind of excited about this.
Right.
There's a documentary that was put out for Hugh Hefner. It's called How Playboy Changed the World.
Oh, wait.
It aired on National Running History Channel. And I've got a spot in there. That's the most recent thing, you know, that I've got a placement on. I'm going on many, many TV shows, reality shows from Bravo to True TV to VH1 to MTV.
Do it yourself.
I'm on that one as well.
Yep.
Oprah, OWN, you know, I'm on reality shows primarily. This background music placement, which I'm still kind of proud of, you know.
Yes, that's definitely something to be proud of. Wow.
Right. And I'm involved in a lot of video games as well.
Doing video games?
Well, I know I'm on the trailers. I don't know if I'm actually in the game yet because it doesn't
release
until the 17th. Grand Theft Auto 5. And four.
You are everything I want to be. Oh, God.
It's a challenge.
I know, right?
It's a blessing. You know, I'm very, I'm not beating myself up. I'm not a fortune, but it's a job, you know.
No, it's my, that's money though. That, I don't care. That's doing what you love and making money.
Right.
So it's yes.
And this guy's got, when he said he's Smitty Beats, he's got over about 80,000 beats. You hear me, Smitty? Well, one time I went to his house and listened to the beats, man. Shoot, I could have listened all day because I love music.
Right, me too. I love it. I went on the SoundClick page to buy a beat, Smitty, and could not buy the beat.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. It kept trying to say I needed to have an account, which I do have a SoundClick account.
Okay.
And I'm not sure. I would have to go back in, but it was this one beat I wanted so bad. And just as I was listening to it, words was coming up. You know, when you know you like a beat and then you just start making lyrics to it right there on the spot, I wanted this beat. Couldn't get it.
After the show, you make sure you get that. I'll email it to you directly. If you get it to pass, let me know what's going
on. I'll have to get back on there and figure out which one it was. But, yeah, I want it. I would buy it. I'll get it right now because I just wanted it because it was one of those dreamy beats that I just love, you know, so to write to.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And
so
I
want to
just
that's
going, sir.
Oh, so that's very encouraging. That makes me want to get back on and make some more music tonight.
You do that.
I want to get to the music, matter of fact. Leave a message. You got the title called Leave a Message. And like one of my friends in Virginia, Ron L., who I do music with, he said every beat you got, the title matches what it is. So this title, Leave a Message, I'm going to play that right now.
All right.
you broke
mm-hmm.
me. You killed me when the bass came in on the breakdown. I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
It's old school. I wanted that 80s feel to that track. I did, that's totally intentional.
I like
no
the 80s feel. I love it.
the whisperous type thing. I was looking for that. You know, I'm most particular about the titles of my track because I want my readers, our listeners, to actually. So sometimes it takes me longer to come up with a title than a track.
But, dude, it's just like it just goes right with it because I could already hear Leave a Message, and I could have wrote some words with the title of it being Leave a Message. So, yeah, I like that.
Hmm.
I like, for real, that was like you can get on the dance floor and dance to it.
You can
and
dance
like I
to
said,
that.
Break, that bass breakdown messed me up.
Thank you so much. Hey, Kat, I'm a fan of your music as well. I've been checking you out on CD, baby.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Trying to do my thing, man. Trying to do my thing.
I'm. Yes.
Hello?
Hello?
I'm here.
Okay. You kind of faded out.
I'm right here.
Okay. The situation that you're going through, dog, do you want to talk about this?
I'm asking you now. It's public forum, and I would ask me anything. I've got it.
Okay.
I can tell you where we are with it right now.
Right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The plaintiff is now running away from having me stand in court, as he stated on Facebook and all these different things. Now he's elected to go for a summary hearing. And after three attempts to get him in court, I went on and said, because I know he could motion all he wants. He can motion for the next 10 years. So I've elected to just go with summary hearing. So hopefully before the end of this month, I should get a ruling. And I expect my counterclaim to be granted by the judge. And I will have a judgment against him for making
right.
a fraudulent claim against me, wasting my time. You know, that takes... I'm a musician. You know, those type of things really affect your emotions. You know,
right.
you try to do things. And so I've wrote a lot of gangster songs since this court hearing. A lot of gangster songs.
You're killing me on this one, dog. You know I'm going to play this back. You wrote a lot of what?
Gangster type bitch. You know, they were very rugged and, aggressive as opposed to loving, beautiful melodies of that. My emotions have shifted, you know, based
right.
on what's going on with me.
Yeah, you know I'm going to put this in a promo. That blonde ambition, he killed me on that one.
Right.
But, you know, I can say that happened to me now. Now I can say don't worry about it. People will sue you at the first opportunity they can get. Out of the 40
right.
years I've been in the business, to be challenged with a lawsuit, overselling my own material.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah,
wow.
when you put it out there on Facebook, I was actually tripping on that.
Yes, that's the truth. He stated.
I was like, man, come on now. That don't even sound right. Logical at best, it didn't even sound logical. So
the things he submitted to the courts, because I'm representing myself, and I'm a you know, you can take it for what you think it's worth. Here's the first hole in this thing. He stated to the judge that I have signed an exclusive agreement in November 2011 and exerted the contracts without my signature on them. My first response was, Your Honor, I didn't sign an agreement. We have no agreement. So how is he going to make the judge think, I mean, my signature's not there, and clearly, in the exhibit that he's presented to the courts.
Right.
So, I mean, that's what if I were the judge, I would at least look to the back and see where the signature block is. And if he doesn't see Eric D. Smith, that means I didn't sign it. But what is he talking about?
Right. I hope this thing goes through and gets out of your life so you can just go on and start doing, you know, keep doing music. And
right.
And not have a beast in your mouth about how people are going to try to come at you. Now you know. People are stupid, and now you got your guard up.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Well, it's costly, though. You know, it's costly for everybody.
It's cost me more in time to respond to these emotions than anything.
Right. Well, let's hope you just you go through this and get it out the way, learning experience, and move on, and continue to do music like you always do.
Mm-hmm.
When one door closes, another one opens. And
for real.
Amen to that.
So, you know, mm-hmm. during the course of this whole thing, I've reconnected with the manager that managed me when I was 26 years old in England. That's now managed me again, and he's also assisting me in countering all these motions that I'm getting charged with.
Right. Well, that's good.
I've got good management. You know, so, I mean, I've been really blessed. I can say that, you know.
The 99 Cent song, to do. 99 Cent Store, what is that?
Okay, well, that song has made me quite a bit of money on the Bravo Network, on Kendra. On Millionaire Matchmaker, that's been featured on a lot of reality shows. So that's why because a lot of people are most familiar with that.
Okay.
So being this economy, I shop at the 99 cent store, so it's a totally relevant.
Got that right.
I was thinking something that could possibly be Muzak music, a theme jingle, but mm-hmm. the people in LA like that. The music supervisors. Selected that song, and I make money on that every. I've been making money on that since 2005.
Wow.
This is the 99 cent store. This is the music that Smitty named it. I'm like, I can't wait to hear it. Here it is.
Okay. You know.
feeling that groove. I'm going to be honest with you.
Me too.
Like Blonde Ambition said, I listened to it and I was like, man, I could have came up with some lyrics right then.
Right. It's just, it puts you in a real laid-back mood, you know, and I love beats like that, that are laid-back, dreamy. They have dreamy sounds in them. I don't know if anybody knows what my definition of dreamy is, but I love dreamy tracks. I love them.
That was so smooth.
I'm looking forward to hearing some of your music as well.
If I can have the pleasure of having that one song, and I will buy it tonight, I will start right into it immediately, just to be associated with you.
if you can get the tag or link up with me, and I'll send it to you directly from my hard drive.
Well,
okay, so I
got to
go back on there and find out.
Friend. I'll go from there.
I'll be honest. Let me know what it is, and I'll get it to you, okay? No problem.
Okay, I want it. I want that song, and I just didn't ever go back about it because I was like, man, I'm not, you know, it's not letting me pay for it. You know, I was getting upset.
I think I sent you 2 Smitty beats, didn't I, Blonde Ambition?
Yeah, you did. You gave me a link, and I went straight to it, and I found 2 songs that I wanted to start with. They just, you know, because when you write stuff, if you hear a beat, and you just start coming up with words to it, you know you probably want that song. It'll be easy to write to and easy to come up with ideas to. You know what I'm saying? And it was 2 of them that I wanted. So
you guys want to know a secret? I do not have that ability, and I admire artists that have that ability. I do not have that ability to do so. I can create tracks, but lyrics and melody.
And my creating of tracks is shaky at best, but I've been practicing, but goodness gracious, it's such a hard thing to build this song all the way up, you know, beat by beat, piece by piece, and putting the breakdowns in there and everything. It's tough work, you know?
I hate to say it, I do the music in and I do write songs, so, I mean, I guess I'm gifted to have both of the little prizes. I can do them both.
Right.
I do a lot of writing for other people too, and I do a lot of beats for other people too. So, yeah, it's easy for me on both ends.
Well, my challenge is 1 track, 1 day. I psych myself out.
Wow.
5-minute song. Why should it take me 20 days to do a 5-minute song? And
right.
When I play a song back, if I get bored with it, you'll never hear it.
Right.
Because I know you got like I said, 80,000. So how many did you throw away, Smitty? I know you don't break my heart now.
I don't think you threw away
about 80,000 too. I'm gonna be like mad for you.
In my ASCAP, I have 1,580.
Wow.
Tracks.
Wow.
Those are registered.
You've been working.
Yeah, it does a lot. I'm trying to. I tried to told you. He does a lot.
Well, it shows because in the quality of the music, you know, the more you practice, the more you do. And that's where my problem comes in because I have to worry about making money so much. I can't put all that energy in there like I want to. If I hit the lottery, I could sit up all day. You know what I'm saying? I would love to do that.
If I could hit the lottery, I'd be all right. But I do all right for working and doing my music at the same time and writing the comic book and doing everything that I do.
Yeah, you're
so
doing a lot, Taz.
I'm blessed to have that time. And matter of fact, I put a beat away today, like Smitty said. I liked it, but I was like, nah. And I was doing it right before the show, so I said, nah, I'm just gonna discard it because it's going to bother me during the show.
I've trashed a lot of stuff. I've trashed a lot of stuff, too, because I'm a big critic of myself, you know?
I don't trash them. I'll put them aside. When I did the 99 Cent Store, I had a 32-track. You remember that mixing console I had in Vegas, right, Trash? I don't have that anymore.
Yeah, I remember.
When I did that track, that's what I had. When I did Leave a Message, I'm using Logic Studio Pro.
Logic for me.
I love Logic. I can turn it off.
Oh, yes, it's the best.
with the console, with the spaceship I had in Las Vegas, if I turn it off or if the air conditioner kicks on, I'll get a spike in the track.
Mm-hmm.
Quarter-inch cords and all those. So I have to finish the song that night, or else, you know, I will never get that same sound again. So I stay on with Logic. It's got Total Recall, and I love that function, whereas I can take a break and go to the store and come back and turn it off and turn it back on and resume.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy with it. I'll never scrap it.
I'm a Logic fan forever. They came out with a new one too, you know, right?
No.
New Logic, yes.
I never used Logic.
Wow.
My cousin do.
I like it much better than Pro Tools, because Pro Tools has a lot of problems sometimes, you know. I mean, I'm working on a Mac, but it can give you a lot of headache sometimes, you know, with the technical parts, you know. So Logic is so easy, and the interface is just so easy to work to me.
I've only started working with it. It's my second year on it.
I've never worked with it. My cousin do, and then another cousin uses Reasons.
Everybody likes Reasons.
And I use Magic with the X, and that's all I've ever used. I've been through all the generations, and I'm up to the new generation that just came out 2 weeks ago and got that. So, I mean, that's all I've ever used. And we all the time said to each other, well, you stay where you at, I stay where I'm at. You
right.
know what I mean? So that way,
once you get used to something, you're used to it, you know?
Right. That's right. I wanted to change the Appleton into that machine. That's what I want to use, because I got another cousin that does the machine. So, I mean, that's all he ever used. So, I mean, it's a whole mixture of everything within the family. Everybody go to everybody like, yo, I know he know how to do this, so I got to go to him. But, Smitty, I want you to give out your information so people can hit you up, buy your beats, and just stay in contact with you, Cat.
Oh, man, thank you so much. Currently, my website is down, as you saw my posting on Facebook. There's an issue with my host server, but it is smittybeatmarket.com, smittybeatmarket.com, and I'm still on SoundClick search engine. I'm everywhere. You know, you can find me on I'm hosted at a lot of different production websites, but Google me, Smitty Beats, SMIDIBEATS. You can find me, obviously, on Facebook, which I'm on that constantly as well. Anybody out there, befriend me. I'd love to chat with anybody that may have any questions about the industry.
I'll send you a friend request for mine. So,
okay,
and then you can send me a link directly or however through there if you want to.
Okay, I'll
get it tonight. Trust
okay,
me.
Okay, and when we get together, inbox me your inbox of your email, and I'll send it directly this evening.
I just suggested on Blonde Ambitions page to be your friend, Smitty. So she ought to see that and click on it, be your friend, and then boom, y'all talking.
Open up right now.
And it's all good, man. I love you, fam. You just like a brother to me. So you know, we got to get together again too.
Yes, sir.
I go to Virginia once a year and record. So you know that. And time is of the essence for me. When I go through Virginia, I'm there for 3 days. We record 24 tracks. So that's how we do that.
Wow.
Yeah, in 3 days. And really, we do it in 3 days. I'm there for 4 or 5, but we do it in 3 days. We don't use the whole 5 days because normally we get together, you know, hang out, go to karaoke, because they love to sing. I'm friends with a group down there. And they sing, and sometimes they perform on the boardwalk in Virginia Beach, and we're out in Virginia Beach partying.
No,
night.
You know, I was just down there for about 5 months. You know, I got a bunch of pictures of me down on the Virginia Beach.
I didn't know
what beach you
was on, but okay, because we used.
The recent ones have been in Florida and Clearwater and St. Pete, but you know, before that, I was in Virginia Beach for about 5 or 6 months down there. Yeah.
Dang.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm down in the country. I'm nowhere near that. I'm close to the North Carolina border.
Right. As I cross in from Georgia. Right. As I cross in from North Carolina, you right there.
Right there. On the line. I'm 5 minutes from the North Carolina border.
Okay, cool.
That's not that far.
No, not for me anyway. I go up 85
right.
North and right there, boom. like I said, Smitty, we got to get up. Like one of the times I drive up there, before I go to the other side, because my boy's in Newport News. So by the time before I get over there, I just swing and see you, and then be headed on my way back to Newport News. You know.
And I'm next time I'm in Atlanta, my cat. I'll let you and Darlene.
Let me know, and I'll fix you some vittles, dog, and you come back through, you be like, I come back in and eat again. Because we got that house party in October 12th.
Still doing it, huh?
Man, this is like the 9th year, brother. We got some people coming through to perform. My cousin lives down here. He's coming to perform. Matter of fact, he's performing in a couple clubs this weekend. He's coming through to perform. Hopefully, I get my other cousin that did the keyboards on my jazz track that I sent you from SoundClick.
Yes.
Him, and I'm going to program a couple beats on the computer and actually play it live during the house party. Because I've done it before. I played a couple beats. I programmed some beats, and then I played it live during the house party.
Right.
Also
right.
Perform. My boy performs from Virginia when he come up and sing. We got a couple more singers coming through, and this poet named Mark Lacey is supposed to come through too, one of my boys. So we do it every year, and I lay out a big spread, bro, and it's nothing but, like, all kind of food. I'm just letting you know. You and your wife come through, man, if you want to.
Boy.
Just let me know.
And I appreciate that. I'm going to – she's that one. When she comes back in, I'm going to discuss that because this settlement might –
Yeah, I'm
going to
send you the date. It's October 12th. It's the Saturday before Columbus Day. It's always that Saturday before Columbus Day on that Monday.
Man, you've been doing that. Wow, congrats, man. I mean, I've got mad respect for you on that, you know.
Been doing this, and we have fun every year. Then I write it like a little 5-10 minute skit that we do – on the radio. We used to do it on my radio show on the net, on ATAZP.com. We used to do a skit on the radio show. So everybody that come through be like, you wrote a skit? Yeah, I wrote it. And it's hilarious, man. Every year we do it, they be like, man, how you come up with that? I write it like in 5 minutes right before we start the radio show because I record the house party for the radio show. So it's just all about getting together and, you know, having a good time, fellowshipping, really, with a lot of people that we ain't seen all year and just have a good time.
Well, that sounds good. I like that. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and hopefully we start that tradition when I move to Texas in a year and a half. Oh, we are. You know me. I'm going to be out and about meeting people, so, yeah, we're going to do it there, too. Yeah. I have the complete faith that I'm going to be able to do it there, too. I got a lot of friends in Texas as well. But
wow.
It was good having you on, Smitty. Like I said, you're like a brother to me. And thank you for coming through, sir.
Yeah, hey, thank you for even having me. I really do appreciate that. I truly do. Tell the wife I said hello. And
I will.
And I'm looking forward to getting that information to you, Miss Lady.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I can't wait because I can't wait to do something with it. That definitely motivates me to want to really do it, really.
Right on.
So it was
really
wonderful talking to you and listening to your music.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate everything. Okay, guys? And
take care,
thank you so much. And I'll talk to you later. I'm getting online right now. I'll talk to you guys
later.
All righty.
Well, Blonde Ambition, James didn't call through, and like I said, you know how I have that 5 minute intro just in case black people who don't call in.
I know I'm one of those black people that be messing up too. So I know.
Call in, man. I be like, Lord, I don't need no problems, and I know you
know,
heard
right?
Some of the little through the intro. That is little takes from different shows that I've had.
Right. That's what I was listening to that, yeah.
Yeah, and I've had one of them was the pimp. He was a pimp talking about how he treated his girl.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Also, I had these girls on from Houston, Texas. I met their father at a music convention up here in Atlanta. Matter of fact, I got a music convention going. It's September 21st, 3 days. We're doing, it's a music convention international. And I got friends overseas that I'm friends with from online and Second Life. where Second Life, you make an avatar of yourself and you go into the site.
I heard about that. I heard about that place.
I've been on there since it began, and that was in 2003, 2002.
Yeah, I know people that are, like, really dedicated, and they buy houses and whatnot on there and sell them, and I'm like, what?
Not Tim Jeter. Tim Jeter, when you, like, appear on the site like Star Trek. You know how they beam you somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
And you just materialize, and you be there? That's how I come on the site, and I be in the middle of a casino. That's where I live at. Because I'm not buying no house, no fake
right.
house.
Right, that's what I told them. Like I mean, I'm gonna buy me on my own real house. Thinking about buying no internet
house. The first
house,
life,
yeah.
But anyway, I met many people from Australia, from Russia, from the UK, and all they do is click on your avatar, and as much information you want under that avatar, they can see.
Yeah.
So I put all my music information, and people bought music from me from overseas, and that's how I met a lot of people. And that's what happened. We was at another music conference, and they passed. A couple of people didn't know about Second Life, and I already had been on there. And this was like years ago when it first started, and people was very unfamiliar with it. And I got up in the middle of that big auditorium. They gave me the mic. I told them exactly what I'm telling you, how I did it. Man, the dude that was running it said, well, we're going to give you like 20 minutes to network with everybody in here. And the first person I'm going to is that dude over there that know about that Second Life. That dude right there. And man, him up from Houston, we were sitting down. People came passing us CDs, business cards, information. He said, I'm glad I'm hanging with you, man. Because we ended up knowing the whole auditorium. And I still got relationships from that meeting of meeting all these different people that I'm still friends with today. And a couple of them come through and be on the show.
You know what? That's real good networking. You know, and
yeah.
That's what being in the industry is all about. It doesn't matter what you're doing. That you don't have the networking skills and know how to get out there and make it happen, you're not going to go anywhere with what you got going on. So whatever it is. So, yeah, that's good networking right there.
That's true. And like I said, I got a lot of overseas friends that I plan on meeting for the first time at this convention for 3 days. Going to get it on and popping and just meet a couple people and talk to a couple people for real and get some people for the show as well. And I want to thank you for coming through. I want to thank you for coming through. My other co-host, like I said, he had to go to his broadcasting school on the weeknight. So when I do these on the weeknight, I'm going to be calling you through for real because there's a lot of other people you can meet. And like he met, since he's been doing it with me for the last 5 months, he said he's met so many people through just doing the radio show because I
talk
with a lot of people and talk to a lot of people to get them on, and I love their music and I talk to them. So I got some more people. I'm looking at my schedule. I'm thinking next week. It's supposed to be next week. I got a young guy and this other guy that's a band. He's in a band that plays in my home area. I'm from Ohio, but I'm on the edge of Ohio in Steubenville, which is where West Virginia, Pennsylvania meet. And Pittsburgh is like 20 minutes away from me. And this cat's got a band in Pittsburgh. And there's this other young guy that does hip-hop, of course. And he lives down here in Atlanta. So it'd be like his first interview, his first time talking. So I like to give people a chance to talk and communicate about their music. Because you never know. You know, this could be like a little session. They could practice and, you know, get interviewed about their music. So that's cool.
Man, it is.
I'm gonna leave
you're doing a wonderful thing.
I've been doing this since 2004, so it's crazy.
Right.
I'm going to leave the last song. This is my girl, Stephanie Sparks Parker. She just got married recently. She's on a cruise right now. She performs on different cruise lines around the world. This is Stephanie's off her album. This is called Let's Ride. And thank you, Blonde Ambition, for being on. And again,
you're very welcome.
We're going to do it again at 9 o'clock next week with the other two guests that I got set up on next Thursday.
Okay. Sounds good.
And here we go. This is Stephanie, my girl, my little sister, Sparks.
Carrying That's my city.